Hey guys, welcome to the Maybe Running Will Help podcast. I'm your host, Nikki Tamburino, also known on Instagram as One Classy Mother Runner. Give me a follow. I'd love to connect with you there. Also, did you know that I offer virtual coaching services? Learn more at NikkiTamburino.com. And finally, are you a woman who runs or wants to run in Baltimore? Check out Baltimore's inclusive ladies running club on Instagram at Bella's Run Club. Now, let's talk about today's episode. Hi, friends, and happy Friday. I am so excited today to be traveling to Chicago for the Chicago Marathon. I look forward to meeting some of you out there. Good luck to everyone running. We've got a great day. The weather looks awesome. I'm just so excited to get there and get to the expo. And I feel like it's been so long since I've been to a big marathon weekend. It's been actually since Philly last year. So I'm just really, really excited to have the entire weekend experience, and a little nervous about the run as usual, but I also am just kind of excited. So also, if you happen to be traveling from Baltimore and see me in the airport, please help me. This is my first time. You're not going to believe this. This is my first time going through an airport by myself, and I am so nervous. My husband tells me it's not a big deal and tries to make me feel better by telling me that, like, kids do it by themselves, but it's not helpful. I'm so used to following him through the airport that I am a little bit freaking out. So anyway, hopefully I make it to Chicago. But about today's episode. So today we're talking to Dr. Delaine Fowler. She's president of a company called Accelerate Therapy and Performance. Now, her practice focuses heavily on individuals she calls industrial athletes, which I think is so clever. These are people who work in physically demanding environments. But she has a lot of information for runners, and she's an experienced runner and triathlete. So she relates, she knows all about our sport. She has a story of her own of how she got into running, which we're going to learn about. And she's going to tell us, you know, about what she does with corporate clients and also what we can do as athletes to run more efficiently. So this is a really interesting episode. I hope you love it. If you have any more information after, if you have any more questions, not information, sorry, marathon brain. If you have any questions about Delaine and her business after the episode, her website is www.accelerate-pt.com. It will be linked in the show notes. And I hope you enjoy the episode. Let me know what you think. Here we go. Just to get started for our listeners, can you do like a quick intro of who you are and what you do?
Sure. So I'm Delaine Fowler. I'm an Accelerate Therapy and Performance, and we are an injury prevention consulting firm and physical therapy practice in North Carolina. We're in 21 states helping different companies help them reduce their injury rates. And how I fell in love with it is as I became a PT, I realized that not everybody knows how to take care of their bodies. Runners are a true case of that too. I love to run, and I'll tell you all about running. But as a physical therapist, all the runners would come to me because I'm probably one of the few people in town that would tell them or do my very best to tell them to keep running.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Because everybody else, you know, you go to any other doctor, they're like, "Well, stop running," and that's not an answer for a runner.
Nope.
Right. Like, we call ourselves runner. We don't go running. We are runners. And so, like, you're trying to, like, kill someone's identity by telling them they're not a runner anymore. And for me, it was like, what can we do to keep you running and heal at the same time?
Because every
runner knows that, and every person who works out and finally comes to a realization that movement is a part of life, and stopping and not moving is just as detrimental as any orthopedic injury. Like, I always say, I'm probably going to be an athlete my whole life, as to whatever that means. And the reason I say that is because I'd much rather have an orthopedic issue and injury than a chronic disease.
Right.
And have to be in our medical management. Like if I take a medicine, I want it to get me better, not just manage me through my life. So, you know, I love running. Running is our part of my injury prevention strategy. It keeps my cardiovascular health strong and it keeps me strong and well. And so when we go to talk to employees at industries, we treat them the same as we would treat a runner or any other athlete. We call them industrial athletes. And we're trying to find those strategies for them in their workday, because these are usually people doing really physical work, to help them understand how to use their bodies effectively and efficiently so they don't get injured.
That's awesome. Yeah. So it's really about not necessarily preventing injury, because injury is inevitable, but reducing the risk of injury by teaching people how to effectively use their bodies. And then in the case that they do get injured, how to recover and keep them in their sport or their job or whatever they're doing.
Yeah, no doubt.
I love that. I love that because you're right. I it is frustrating, even if it's not a physical like injury, like your knee or something like that. Even when it comes to, I recently had an experience with my blood work came back and it was a little irregular. And you go to a regular doctor and they're basically like, no, this looks fine to me. But you need to really go to one of those specialists that really knows what to look for, because you need to treat the person and, you know, the individual and not just, you know, everybody's different. And so I love that you specialize in that and kind of keeping people in sport, because you're right. Runners do not want to be told to stop running.
That's right. Yeah, I had a back surgeon tell a friend, son of mine, this was a guy who was headed off to collegiate basketball, Division I collegiate basketball, and he injured his back, like enough to go see the surgeon about what was going on with him. And the surgeon said, why do you need to play basketball? Just read a book. Like, read books will open doors for you. And I was like, he's a basketball player. You know what? He will read books. He's a very smart kid, but he wants to play basketball.
These are people that clearly don't get it. You know, some people get it and some people don't. And as soon as I find people that just don't get it, I don't argue with them. I just am like, okay, thank you very much, and move on to the next one. So that's awesome. So tell me, what kind of brought you into this work? Like what, like how did you start?
When I was a PT, I started in a practice that was heavily work comp driven, and I saw the same injuries from the same companies coming in over and over and over and over again. And one day I just got fed up, because I was like, why? Like, there has to be a solution to this problem. And so I started calling companies in my area and asking them if I could tour their plants. And just said, you know, I'm super curious about how people work and what they're doing. And they invited me in. Like, they were like, yeah, come to our plant, see what we do. And one day I was at this plant touring around, and this lady stopped me. You know, I probably had a notebook or something, so I looked scary. And she stopped me and asked me what I was doing. And I said, well, I'm here just looking at this job, and I'm a physical therapist. And she's like, well, my wrist, I've moved on this line like 2 months ago and my wrist is killing me. And she said, I moved from that one to this one, and ever since then my wrist is hurt. And I said, okay, well, let me watch you work. And if I can do something to help, I'll do it.
Yeah.
She said, okay. So I sat there and watched her work, and I realized she was pushing this button in a really funny way over and over and over again. And in a like a weird way.
Yeah.
That's weird. So I called the maintenance guy over and I asked him, I was like, hey, can you move that button from there to there? He said, yeah, sure. I was like, okay. You know, he's like, I think so. I don't see why I can't.
Yeah.
I was like, all right. And I left. And a few weeks later, I came back for something else, maybe to tour a different department. And that lady saw me and almost tackled me.
Oh, gosh.
She was so happy. Mm-hmm. And she's like, they moved that button and my wrist pain went away. And what the beauty of it was, and this is what she said, and this is why, like, I'll never forget that moment. She said, and all my friends who work on this line, their wrist pain is fixed too. And like at that moment, I was like, okay, number one, I've made her the hero because she was the advocate.
Yeah, right.
She was the one who went, asked the question.
Right.
And I realized like I could stop injuries before they start.
Yeah.
And not just by, you can't change every line, right? there are plenty of companies out there building widgets that they've been building the same way for 50 years with antiquated machines that they're just trying to keep safe enough to keep running. But they're not ergonomically friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Some companies pour tons of investment into making things ergonomically friendly, but we're all beautifully and wonderfully made. You know, like there's like we're all like a little different. So
yeah.
Ergonomics can't be perfect for every individual every time.
Mm-hmm.
So to train people and educate people on how to move their bodies kind of became the backbone of our injury prevention program. So we literally put an athletic trainer or physical therapist in-house with companies, and we walk around and see how everybody's doing. And we care for them the way we can care for them on like that first aid care side. And then we do a lot of training with them on how to do their job. Uh-huh. And so that way they can go home and be themselves and not have to worry about work and recover and then come back and do that same job again.
Right. That's so cool. That's such a rewarding job. Like that's awesome. You get to kind of like, people must love you.
Yeah.
You know?
We have about 50 people in our company now, and it's so fun to talk to our new employees and say, look, just start making friends and helping people the way you help people as an athletic trainer and a PT. And soon enough, you're going to just get all those kudos back.
Yeah.
So it's a super rewarding job. It's a fun job to have for sure.
Now, is it like when you go into a place and somebody tells you like, you know, notifies you that something's bothering them. Do you walk in and you're like, it's pretty obvious, like to you, like they probably never thought of it. You walk in and you're like, oh yeah, dude, you're pressing that button weird. Like, is it pretty obvious when you go in to be like this? Yeah, I can see what's going on here.
You know, I was really gifted with an amazing CEO, and as like a brand new PT out of school on my first job, and we were walking into some company and she like stopped me outside the door, you know, like put her arm out, like, and I was like, what? And she said, look at me. She said, you have 1,000 times more expertise and education on this stuff than anybody else here. So just have confidence in what you're saying and know that you know. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so it's not like, you know, we walk around like, you remember the SNL guy, the tech guy, the IT guy's like, move. Yeah. Like, we're not like that annoying about it. We come from a place of an educator saying like, let's share our knowledge and let's appreciate the knowledge that employees have of doing their job. They are the experts in doing their job. They just may have not thought about like, oh, let me grab that bag of onions. Let me stop grabbing it like this. Like, why do my elbows hurt? I could be grabbing a bag of onions like this all the time. Like, let's start grabbing it underhanded.
Yeah.
It
makes so much sense. Like,
so sometimes you don't know what you're doing until somebody else can point it out and say, give you feedback. So we feel like we're a really positive feedback loop. We do it in a really step-by-step way when we do coaching. Because I found out in my PT career really fast, like early on my PT career, I would try to give everybody, all my patients, everything I had every day. And then they would go home and not do any of it. But I found out if I gave them one thing to work on, that they would usually work on the one thing.
Yeah.
So that's what we do when we do lift training. We might have 10 things to work on with somebody, but we're going to pick the most important one, have them work on that first, and work on that. So it's a lot of fun, and people are pretty receptive. We do it in a super nice way. We're not like, hey, I'm going to sit here and judge you.
Right.
You know, so we say, hey, we want to make sure that you're doing this in a great way and that you feel good, and it works out pretty well.
I mean, it's kind of like, I mean, a lot of things in life, like when you're so ingrained in your own life or whatever you're doing, you can't see the broad perspective. So having like a fresh set of eyes or somebody coming in that's looking at it from a different perspective is so helpful. You guys just happen to have the knowledge and expertise to be looking for something specific. Mm-hmm. But I mean, these are things that, like, I can tell you from working at a desk for multiple years, like, I used to have neck pain all the time. And it was like, I thought it was sleeping on my neck wrong. And like, you know, it's frustrating. You can't figure it out. There's a million things. And as soon as I stopped, you know, working at the firm, and, you know, my neck pain went away. And so clearly it was something about where my computer was and stuff like that. But I remember ergonomics being something that was fairly new when I was there, which was about 10 years ago. I mean, it was a fairly new thing when we had people come in, and just, they would look at the way our desks were set up and I remember kind of being like skeptical. I was like, so somebody's going to come in and tell me how to set my desk up? Like, Like, I just was like,
everything.
Yeah. And I was just like, why do we need that? Like, cause you're working in a, you know, I was working, are you working in an accounting firm or something like that? And your job is just, that's what you're focused on. So when somebody comes in and is like going to talk to you about setting your desk up, you're like, okay, like I actually have like a real job to do here. But then you don't realize like how vital or how like, I wish that I would have like paid more attention to it, because it probably would have saved me a lot of like, you know, discomfort and stress.
And you'd be surprised at people interview levels too. Stand at a standing desk all day to work. And when I decided to switch to standing more than sitting, I had to train into it, just like you would train for a marathon. Like I had to train into being able to do it. And what I found was that I could stand about half the day, and then like I couldn't think. I would have to sit down to think after lunch. Like I'd have to sit down. And then after a few weeks, I could stand until about 2 or 3, and then I'd need to sit down, and then I could think. It was this crazy thing. But now I can stand all day. I don't even think about not standing and not, you know, I have a mobile, I always call it a mobility desk. So yeah. I'm not just standing. I move around quite a bit, but yeah. So yeah. You'd be surprised at interview, like your energy levels will change when right. you have a proper desk set up and the ability to move around in your desk.
It's like desk endurance, standing endurance.
They've done studies too. They've done studies on kids. There was a study out of, I can't remember what university did it, but it was on a school in Batavia, Illinois. And they had these kids start standing at desks for so many hours, and all their test scores started jumping up.
So, oh, that's wild.
Yeah. And so I'm a big proponent of exercise in schools and movement in schools and having more movement wherever you can.
Yeah.
Giving experiential learning opportunities to our kids, because the whole like go and sit down in your classroom all day thing is super detrimental to all of us, and including our kids. So I am a big proponent of figuring out what different spaces. It's not that it is bad to sit for long periods of time. We're not built to be that way.
Right.
But we're built to move, and so, you know, any opportunity I have to ring that bell to say our kids deserve to move too, and it, you know, that's really good.
That's so interesting, because for how long were we kids sitting at desks in school? And it doesn't make any sense. Kids have so much energy, and you're basically like forcing them to sit down, and on top of forcing them to be still with all this like built up energy, you're also asking them to learn. So it's like, I mean, it's working, like kind of working against them. Like that's kind of amazing that they actually get anything done. So tell me a little bit about your running history, like in your experience. Yeah. Like what is your.
Really, running saved my life. Pretty sure I was a collegiate swimmer and started having shoulder problems. And that were, you know, I went to the doctor, I got a bunch of injections, MRIs, all those things. When you're a swimmer at a university, you're the redheaded stepchild of athletes. So you get like the freshman athletic trainer who hasn't had a day of classes about being athletic trainers. So that wasn't very helpful. And I love athletic trainers. Again, most of my employees are athletic trainers and they are amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, when you're the swimmer at the university, you know, Division I university, you get the redheaded stepchild. So, after I decided to retire from swimming, I realized that you cannot eat at the cafeteria and drink a massive amount of alcohol without putting on a ton of weight. And so I thought, you know what, let me start running. And since, you know, I'm kind of a go-getter, I was like, you know what, I got, let me just train for a marathon. My mom was totally against it.
Wow.
Like, you played soccer and I know you're a good athlete. You can run and all that, but you're going to run a marathon? I was like, yeah. And why I say running saved my life is because my friends were very good at going out and drinking a whole lot on the weekend. And I was very good at it too. And when I started training for marathons and getting up to those higher Saturdays, right? Saturday was my long day.
Right.
I couldn't go out.
You can't. Yeah.
And party all night and then run 15 miles. Like it's just, even at 20 years old, it's not possible. So
it's not smart anyway.
So I started coming to BD or just wouldn't go out and doing that and started running marathons and found my home there. Then I had my best friend's mom. my best friend knew that I was still, even after a year of not swimming, I was still, my shoulder would still be flared up doing certain things, and like I couldn't do overhead presses without it flared up. And we were going to her mom's house for dinner one night. She said, let my mom look at your shoulder. And I was like, okay. Well, she gave me two exercises and did one thing to my neck. And in 3 months, I could swim as far as I wanted.
Wow.
And I hadn't been to the PT, right? I was at the athletic trainer. I was with the athletic trainer.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Not experienced. So I started doing triathlons after that and got into Ironmaning. And I've done a couple of Ironman. I've done more than a half dozen half Ironman. I don't even know how many I've done of those. Just racing around, and it's definitely been, it was a fun part of my life. And I still train like I'm a triathlete. I still swim, bike, and run every week, and add some more strengthening things as I get older and start really focusing on my training to keep my muscle mass up. But it really taught me to appreciate the world and appreciate life, and got me outside to enjoy things. So I've appreciated my running at every level. I did a whole lot of triathloning and then started having babies, which is a whole nother triathlon.
Oh yeah.
Three kids in my 30s, and now we're watching them bike and run. All three of them are out biking with my husband right now. So.
Oh, nice.
So we're a pretty active family, and I hope running is a part of my life for a really long time.
Yeah. Okay. So tell me about your first marathon. This is going to be fun. Yeah. All right. What was your first marathon? Let's start there. What was it? Yeah.
Jacksonville Marathon.
Florida?
It was, I can't remember if that one was the one where it rained the whole time. No, I think it was okay. It was an okay day. I ran the marathon, and I remember my little brother running with me the last few miles. And I guess he peeled off right before the finish. And he said, my mom asked him, how's she doing? He said, she's not making any sense.
She's not making any sense.
But I finished it, and I was really proud of myself. I had blisters everywhere. That was before Body Glide and Dry Fit clothes, all those things that we have now that nobody talks about. I think Body Glide is like a miracle.
Right.
I use that stuff, and I'm not like, I wish Body Guy would pay me to say stuff like this, but I just have stuff I'm not going to work too. So I remember the blisters. I remember it being hard do, but it's funny that when you start doing stuff like that, it's always the third one. So I did Jacksonville two more times in a row. We were always in Florida around Christmas. That third one, that third race, I don't know what it was about it, but my body figured out that I was going to punish it. So it just gave in.
It took it.
Yeah, it's like, okay, fine.
Right.
So I really learned I could be an endurance athlete after that. And I wish I kind of would have discovered it a little bit in swimming. I think I would have known I could go forever. I probably would have picked longer distance swims and been a little bit more of a person on my team that could help out on the team more. But I've loved running, and I love running. I hate when I'm down and out, if I have a cold or something. One of those things that's amazing. But how about you? When was your first marathon?
Well, my first marathon, I was 27, I think. It was the Baltimore Marathon. And I was at a point in my life where I really had something to prove. I really just needed something to be proud of. And so for me, it was, nobody thinks I can do this, so I'm going to show them I can do this. Yeah. And that's how it started for me. And I ran the Baltimore Marathon for probably 3 or 4 years, and then just ended up qualifying for Boston. And once I qualified for Boston, I was hooked, because I realized that I was like, hey, like I wasn't trying to qualify for Boston, which I know is obnoxious, but I wasn't trying to, and I did. And I was like, okay, like I guess I'm kind of like good at this, which I needed to be good at something. So I was like, it stuck. And then I was like, all right, I'm a runner. That's my thing.
Yeah.
I'm a runner. That's my thing.
Yeah. I'm in a group called the Red Hot Mamas. It's just a running group. Like, there's no qualifications. You even have Red Hot Papas, so you don't even have to be female. so we have our Red Hot Papas, but it's just a great group of gals that like to run and get together and spend time together. We do crazy events like the Blue Ridge Relay, 200 mile races and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, cool. Yeah.
We really just do it because we can't just say, well, let me meet you out on a Friday night, to have dinner. Like, that doesn't happen.
No.
But it's like, oh, you want to go run? And we're like, yeah.
Yeah, of course. Like the Ragnar, right? That's kind of what you're talking
about. Yeah, yeah. Like Ragnar, yeah.
That's so fun.
Yeah.
I've done one of them before. Those are really fun events. It's like, so I have really good memories of the Ragnar, like really fond memories. But for some reason, I must remember part of it and I cannot bring myself to do another one.
Yeah.
It's such a commitment. I mean, it really is. It's like, it's just a weekend and it is such a really good memory, but I'm like, I don't really want to spend like a weekend with people like in a van and like, I don't feel like doing that, but it was such a great experience. And I remember when I was turning 40, I was like, oh, like most people are going to have like a big 40th birthday party. I'm like, let's go run a Ragnar, like something really cool. Like, that's what I want to do. So we are a crazy, one of a kind group of people, I think. They're something. So what made you, after that first marathon, want to do another marathon? Because that always amazes me. Like, I don't even know why I did another marathon. It was hot. My first marathon was absolutely a disaster.
Yeah, sure.
So for you, what was it? What made you want to do it again?
Yeah, I think I liked the routine of getting up and running in the morning, or having something to do in the morning. And when you don't have kids, like you're single or you're married, and there's nothing other pressing than getting to work. Like, and I'm an early riser, so I usually get up at 5 every morning, or somewhere around there. It's rare for me to sleep in past 6.
Yeah.
If you're up at 5, what can you do? You can run for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And then get ready and go to work.
Yeah.
So I remember going in to my PT clinic, and my first patients would come in and be like, hey, how's the morning going? I'd be like, great. I'm like wide awake. Yeah. Great. Like,
what's wrong with you?
It's okay. And they're like, oh, so my dinner. So I just finished running 15 miles and I've had a banana and a coffee. And
yeah.
Like, I'm so good.
Yeah.
And they're like, you ran 15 miles this morning? I'm like, yeah. And the question is like, do you run in the rain? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's when you really know you're a runner, is when you have like separate shoes that are your rain running shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're going to be, it's not just trail running, but you're like, I might get dirty. So my nice. Day.
That's so true.
I don't want to get back there yet.
Different.
So my second one, I think it was just I liked the routine, and I knew my family was going forward again, and I thought, shoot, let's just do it again. And then the third one really was like, okay, I really want to hit a certain time.
Okay, yeah.
And then when I knew I could get better, that's what started driving me to get faster and faster. I ran a half marathon last year. I don't get as many. Now I just like the training more than I like the racing. Because the same thing, like Saturdays, I've got 3 kids. Like, I want to focus on them and what they're doing. So spending a half a day at a race is less appealing than it used to be. But I ran a race with a friend last year and still could kick it right at 8. And I was really glad to.
Yeah.
After 3 kids, being able to run 8 miles, I was like, oh.
So you back? Are you back now?
So yeah. So I think I'm running as best I can for where I am, but
marathon in the future.
I haven't decided on a marathon yet, and again, time is of the essence. So I have a busy business and
other priorities
But as long as I'm healthy and I feel good, that's amazing. And I think that should be everybody. We should all figure out how to keep ourselves healthier as we go. I don't want to be medically managed. I've already said that. But I think everybody should really look at how do I improve my health one day at a time?
Yeah.
And whether that's walking or running or, just getting out and breathing hard. People don't know how much stress relief there is in just breathing. Yeah.
Mm.
The other thing we say, why do people smoke cigarettes. There's a lot of reasons, right? There's a lot of reasons. But in essence, when it gets down to it, the physiological mechanism they're looking for is the stress relief. Mm-hmm. And if you think about nicotine is not a depressant. It is a stimulant. Mm-hmm. And so it is not the nicotine that's lowering your stress. It's the fact that in your head, you're taking that break. And guess what you got to do? Smoke. Got to breathe in.
Breathe out.
And you got to breathe out.
I never thought of that.
And that, so I always challenge my smokers, and I'm not sure if anybody's ever taken me up on it. But I'm like, look, like go out and pretend to smoke.
Yeah.
Pretend to smoke. Like put yourself in that mental space. Hold the cigarette in your hand. Breathe in, breathe out. How many ever times it takes you to smoke a cigarette? And see what happens.
It's probably so mental, though. It's probably, like, so ingrained in, like, that they need the nicotine. Like, it's so mental that it's not going to work because they're going to be, like,
it's an addiction and a habit, right? I applaud any. Like, it would be like if you came to me and said, stop running, stop eating chocolate. You know, I mean, I'd probably say something really mean to you. So, I'm totally there, not being judgmental. I'm just.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that we don't give enough credit to something so innate that that's breathing.
That's interesting because I think when you explain things, because the more when you educate people, that's super helpful in helping them kick habits like that. Like just knowing, you know, or them considering that maybe part of the release that they get is the breathing might in their mind, like start to shift and transform their thinking about it and might encourage them or motivate them to try breathing exercises or doing something else. So I think that's really great. I mean, I certainly never thought about it like that before. And it's the same thing with like, with drinking. I thought it was really interesting. When I tried to cut back on drinking, cause I was like drinking, like every night. And I was like, this is a little bit too much, like whatever. Like, I wouldn't say that I had a, you know, addiction, but I was trying to cut back. And I remember like really educating myself on it. And one of the things that I read that really impacted me was you only feel good for 20 minutes. And then after that, you need, you know, you either get tired or, you know, you keep drinking and you get like, so that to me, I'm like, is it really worth 20 minutes when I feel like shit the next day or whatever? So I think education is really important. So I think that's actually really super helpful.
I'm in the same camp. I don't know. Like for me, I would call it like one of those things that you get to experience as you get a little older. It's like you pay for like, you know, I'm not a big drinker anymore. I haven't been since my early 20s. But, you know, as I stopped drinking, I realized like I was just wanting to relax.
Yes. Yeah.
And so if I can just tell myself like, hey, just enjoy these moments. Again, my kids are little. I have an 11-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 4-year-old boy. So our house is really busy and noisy all the time. But just to stop and say, this is kind of a miracle that I get to be here with these kids. And so take a minute just to relax versus, okay, well, let me get a glass of wine. Like the glass of wine just represents relaxation. So
exactly.
And again, it's not worth for me. Like, now, I don't know why, but when I drink even one glass of wine, I will hurt all over the next day.
Mm.
I won't even get relaxed for that glass of wine. And then the next day I'll hurt all over. And I'm so like,
really not worth it.
Really not worth it. So I'm super happy not to drink anymore.
Yeah. Okay. So I have all kinds of questions about your first marathon and things like that. Yeah. So what did you like, what made you think, I know you, that you said that maybe you were partying and, you know, maybe it was because you were trying to like live a healthier lifestyle and maybe running. I think a lot of times when people are trying to lose weight or something, running is the first thing that comes to your mind, right? You like running is like, if you want to lose weight, run, right? What was that kind of, what made you think of like, hey, I'm going to run a marathon? Or what was it that made you think that one, you wanted to run a marathon and two, that you could do it? Cause a marathon is no like easy, like that's like a big undertaking.
Yeah. I think as a 19-year-old, you're starting to put on some lbs because you're not swimming miles and miles a day, but you're definitely putting in plenty of calories. It was certainly about like if you know keeping like trying to maintain a figure and losing weight. And so as a swimmer, I'm 5'3". As a swimmer, I was 140. I was pretty like muscly kind of guy. But as I was running, I was realizing I was kept dropping and went down to 120. So definitely a healthier maintenance weight for me. And So I think that was motivating as I went. And then just, I don't know, a marathon just seemed like something that was really difficult. And
right. Like, so why not a half marathon? Like, why not a 5K?
I don't know why I just ran a half. Go big or go home.
Exactly.
Like, why do you want to start a PT practice?
Well, you could just work for somebody, right?
I try. If you don't try, you'll never know.
But it's just a personality type, I think. With the runners that you work with, what can you tell us some of the things or the like most common things that they're coming in with? Yeah.
A lot of times they're coming in with back and hip pain, keeping them from running. And then your standard knee issues, ankle sprains, glute strains. But a lot of times it's all those hip things.
Yes.
SI joint issues. So we do a lot of stability work, make sure that they're flexible in the right places and strong in the right places as they run. Every runner's gait is a little different. And so we have to appreciate gait characteristics instead of being like, oh, you're supposed to run like this. I love getting somebody on a treadmill and filming them. I love putting them outside if they're comfortable going outside of my clinic, putting them out in my clinic and actually watching them run and filming them running to show them like, this is a gait characteristic, but this gait characteristic, let's strengthen these muscles. And it's usually unilateral, right? Like, because running it's one side.
Yes, yeah.
So usually there's one thing on one side and one thing on the other.
Mm.
And I think people don't think about that when they're training themselves. And so knowing your gait characteristics and knowing how you run and what's tight and what's loose. For instance, my husband's also a runner,
mm-hmm.
and his ankles are crazy tight. He started triathloning as well. He's done an Ironman. And our swim coach, when we did Masters Swim Team, would look at me and be like, something you can do to help him point his feet more. And I'm like, I mean, there's really not. Like, they're springs. Like, they're meant to be springs, not flippers. So everybody has their gait characteristics. So it's really fun to deconstruct any athlete, no matter what they're doing, whether it be a golfer and their swing characteristics or a basketball player and how they're jumping and landing and all that. It's fun to deconstruct them and to say, okay, let's work on these specific movements over the next 2 weeks. And then let's see how you're doing after that.
Mm-hmm.
Slowly changing things to help them not have the thing that they had that caused them the knee pain or the hip pain. But most of the time runners, if you're a runner and you're like, oh, my legs are tired all the time, you're usually not doing the strength work you need to not have injuries.
We're pretty much that's something we're known for is not loving strength work. We love the cardio. I see people now. Okay. So is there any gait that is definitely not helpful? I see people that run with a clear lean to the side, and I'm thinking, oh my god, you are gonna injure yourself. Is that okay? Is that ever okay for somebody to be leaning to the side or have this super crazy kick? I've seen people have they're running and their leg goes out this way and out this way, and I'm like, oh my god, is that okay?
If they don't hurt,
crazy.
That's their run. That's their run. I don't do something that doesn't hurt.
Yeah. Okay.
But I just if they are bothered by it, or even if some people have scoliosis, they're going to be hitched to one side and rotated to one side and all of those things. But yeah, sometimes you watch people and you're like, how can that feel good?
I saw somebody the other day and she had the most interesting stride and I was fascinated. I literally tried not to look like a stalker, but I was like, wow. Wow, that is, I've never seen form like that. But it was fascinating.
I always wonder if we didn't have shoes, if none of us had shoes, what would happen to our gait? All of us in the whole world, what would happen to our gait? I had a guy run by me in a half marathon, I think it was a Princess half marathon. And this guy comes running by me with these pancake flat feet, barefoot. And I was like, oh, cool. So I like ran out, like no socks, nothing on, no Vibrams, none of that.
None of it.
And so I caught back up to him and I was like, hey, I was like, I'm going to ask you all the questions people have asked you all day. And he's like, great, go for it. Uh-huh. Like, when did you start barefoot running? And he, you know, told me when, and I was like, why? And he said, my back was killing me.
Oh.
He said, so I took off my shoes and started walking and running. And he's like, I've had flat feet my whole life. And he said, and this fixed my back, is running barefoot. And of course, then I asked him, I'm like, well, I never got tough like glass. Like, yeah, blah, blah, right. How do you deal with rocks? Like, my feet are so sensitive because I wear shoes.
Yeah.
Outside. And he's like, no, you just kind of start building up leather, like all those calluses just start building up. And
oh, you're man. Good. I don't know if my husband would appreciate leather, yeah. Leather bottom foot.
Yeah.
But
leathery feet.
It's really leathery interesting. Feet. That's the mm-hmm. first questions I would ask too, is about yeah. the rocks. I was just thinking that. I was like, oh my God, I get uncomfortable if I get like a little pebble in my shoe or like whatever. Yeah. Yeah. So what do you think of the, super shoes? Carbon plated shoes. Are you a fan?
Oh, yeah. So I've been running in carbon plated shoes for as long as they've been out. I love mine. I do. I right now run in Brooks Hyperion. I was running in the Nike version of them until they like, I don't know if the pandemic screwed it all up or they changed the model, but those are the first ones I was running in. I did
the
get
next
the,
percents, the next percents like those.
Next, yeah. To the next.
Yeah.
Yeah. The next ones, but then they did something to them and then they went to the next person. And I can't run in those because of the rocker bottom's weird.
Oh yeah. They have two different kinds now. They have like this, the fly and yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The Zoom fly. So the Zoom fly. I love, but they changed them some way and mm-hmm. it just didn't work. And then the next, the rocker bottom was too much.
Yeah.
But I love my carbon fiber, carbon plated shoes. They are amazing. Some people like their Jimmy Choos. I like running shoes. So I gave up on the fancy high cost dress shoes to have fancy running shoes. But they make the world a difference for me.
Yeah.
When I was triathloning, I ran in things that had a big drop, right? So I was trying to stay on my midfoot as much as possible and did really well there. But after I started having kids, harder and harder and harder to make that Achilles, you know, fire the way it should.
Yeah.
Like that, I don't know. Totally just doesn't do the same it did as when I was 25. But,
isn't that crazy? Yeah.
I've been able to run really well in carbon fiber shoes. So I love them. I don't know about you. What about you?
I have different shoes for, like you were talking about, different shoes for different weather. I have different shoes for different runs. So I run in the next percents for my like track workouts, any speed work, I'll use them. I love Brooks. I love New Balance. I mean, I probably have every different pair of shoes. And at this point, because I have a neutral foot and I've never been one that have been super picky about shoes. Like I know that I don't like too much cushion, like just very general. And so I end up picking shoes by their color, which I know is like super annoying to like serious runners, but I'm like, it doesn't matter to me. Like, I don't care. And yeah. So at this point, I just kind of look at the bottoms of my shoes and see which ones aren't too worn. And that's the ones that I pick for that day. Exactly. But so another question about shoes, like how important are shoes in terms of injury?
Yeah, I think a lot. Okay. When I first started running, I definitely had a lot of plantar fasciitis and all those things. And I think I had to learn, this was way before PT people do. Mm-hmm. But I had to learn what fit me.
Right.
And so I stick to those shoes pretty well. I had a pretty stable shoe until I switched over to Newton's triathloning. That was the first time I really had something that didn't have like a ton of stability in it. And I'm glad I switched over to them and learned how to run in them. But now I do. I'm the same as you. I like a lighter weight shoe. And you know, the carbon fiber ones are usually built pretty minimal. Because they have such good support. But I think finding the right shoe for you is important. And again, we're all magically and wonderfully made. So
yeah.
finding a shoe that works for you that you can run in that doesn't make you hurt. It's usually the first question my runner is like, how old are your shoes? Do you run the same shoes? Do you change it out? What are your dress shoes like? What's your workspace like? Do you stand all day? Do you sit all day? Right? Because somebody sitting all day who's a runner is actually going to have tighter calf muscles and somebody doesn't, because they're just not up and moving as much. So all those things are important in what you do. But as a PT, I think shoe wear is really important to find the right one that works for you.
So something interesting that you said that I learned is it's, you know, switching out shoes, like not wearing the same shoe an entire training season can be helpful, because I don't think you realize that when you're wearing the same shoe, you're running the same all the time. So if you switch up your shoe, it may be like a little difference, but each shoe you run a little bit differently, which kind of helpful in like building different strengths and things like that. So I thought that was something like really interesting that people probably don't think about, is like switching up your shoes is actually a really good thing to do. Yeah. And then is there something at home that people can do to figure out like what is the best kind of shoe for them? I've heard of like the wet foot test on paper. Like how accurate is that? That, you know, like you stick your foot in water and then you put it on a piece of paper and you can see that they see where it arches. Or is it just really you should go to a running store and have them do it? Or is there anything we can do at home to kind of?
I think that, again, I need to start calling these people if I'm going to start calling them their businesses. Like running warehouse is an amazing thing. I actually made my husband put it to running warehouse. We started collecting new shoes and his boxes that he would never wear. So he could try some shoes. A lot of the running stores now would be like, yeah, go ahead and run in them 10 miles. Fine. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll let you go run in them for a little bit to see if you like them.
Yeah.
So I think that's a really nice evolution of shoe stores, is that there's a lot that you can go and run in and see how you do. And there's that whole new trend of kids like buying really old shoes, you know, and not wearing them, right? They don't want to crease them or anything like that. So they'll trade shoes. You know, they want the Jordans from 1986 and they'll go find them and they'll put them on, but then they'll like shuffle because they don't want to crease them. So the shoes now are like a bit of a commodity, too. So I think it's kind of a neat evolution of shoe wear that we can go out and run in shoes for a little while and be like, so when I decide I'm going to try a new brand or version of a shoe, I wear my old shoe that I really like and I put on the other shoe and then I run whatever a mile or two in both shoes and to see how it, like, okay, do I like the way that feels or do I not?
Well, that's really a good idea.
Yeah. And then I'll leave my old shoe on and I'll put on a different one and go running with that, just to see, be like, oh no, I think I could do these shoes. And that's how I've always tested out my shoes.
That's a really good idea. So if you had one piece of advice to give to runners, or that you most frequently give runners, what is it, or what would it be?
Sure. I think recovery is key. If you're starting to try to build up to running longer and longer distances, you have to realize that your body has to learn and compensate for that. So having a good recovery plan, making sure that you come home, you stretch, you drink water, you know, cool yourself down properly and hydrate the way you should and put nutrition in your system. You know, I listened to something the other day said, you know, this is true. Like we have cells, you have cells dividing in you all the time. Like you're new your whole body is new every, you know, what, 3 or 5 years, something like that. Like all that. And so if we're feeding ourselves well and putting good things in us, I think your eyeballs are new every 2 weeks. Something like crazy.
Yeah.
Like
that's wild.
It's like really fast. Like your eye cells are like, you know, getting new ones and getting rid of the old ones really, really fast. It's something really crazy fast.
No way.
So I try to think about that when I'm like, oh, yeah, I could sit around and eat a bunch of junk food and it would make me happy for, like you said, it'll make me happy for 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But then after that, I'm going to be like, oh, man, now I feel like crap because I ate a bunch of crap.
That's fascinating. Now I was going to be thinking about, is this what I want my new cells to be in 5 years? That's fascinating. Wow. That's so funny. So the one thing that you said, we're so bad at stretching. I'm terrible at stretching after a run. I mean, probably the most stretching I do is like bending down to untie my shoes after a run. Like that's it. So how long, how much of a time commitment, like minimum, do we need to be stretching after a run?
So I like to incorporate stretching in. So like right after, I do take 5 minutes, 10 minutes to just stretch. I stretch my arms, stretch over, you know, all those things. So it's, you know, I think taking time to stretch your legs, take at least 5 minutes.
Sit still for 5 minutes.
Even if it's in the shower, you know, okay, like incorporate it into your, like you're in the shower, stretch your hamstrings or, you know, do whatever, you know, do lotus pose in the shower and stretch your piriformis and all those muscles out, or do, you know, do a psoas stretch in the shower.
Yeah.
And I like to incorporate it into my family. We don't get to watch anything that I want to watch because I have three kids and a husband
right
in my house. But so at night, we'll sit down on the floor and stretch and just incorporate it into our day. Yeah. The funniest thing lately is we watched the Netflix series Quarterback.
Okay.
And in that, they show all the recovery things that the quarterbacks do to take care of themselves.
Oh, okay.
And they have a lot of people that take care of them. They have chiropractors, physical therapists, strength and conditioning coaches, you know, all those people, nutritionists, people cooking for them. And so my kids then, like, are now think that I'm their recovery specialist. And so, like, they're like, Mom, will you stretch my hamstring? Mom, will you massage my quad?
So they're, like, pushing their leg up.
You're 11. You're 11.
But that's hilarious.
My four-year-old is hysterical. Mom, hamstring.
Yeah. Can you massage? Yeah. Can you give me, like, a leg massage? Yeah. So that's a really good tip, actually. I think I think thinking about it and doing it in the shower, because then I'll feel like I'm also doing something else at the same time. Because nobody, the thing is, people just don't want to stop. They just don't want to stop. They want to keep moving with their day and they don't want to stop to stretch. But that's the same thing I do with like nutrition. Like it's really hard to, after a run, get back and like have a recovery smoothie or something like that. So like I've started doing like a shower smoothie. Like I will make it and then take it in the shower and drink it in the shower. That's a lot of things to do in the shower now, though. That's going to be a long shower.
I have a green smoothie. I'm working for sure. I didn't think I was going to like it the first day I went. I can't live without it.
So. Really? What's in that? Yeah. Give us your secret secret recipe.
I chop up apples, celery, and cucumbers, and then blend it and put it in some coconut water and freeze it.
Okay.
And then once it's frozen, I throw a couple cubes of that, a handful of spinach, and an avocado, a half an avocado, and a bunch more coconut water in it and blend it. And again, the first day I was had it, like my husband and I were doing this, like, I were like, hey, yo, let's have do this together. And we like looked at each other like, oh, it was awesome.
No way. Like the first taste, you didn't have to get acquired to it or anything?
Mm-mm. No, it was awesome. From the first day, I was like, oh, I can do this. I can definitely do this. And I've probably 2 years into it, I probably have a green smoothie every day unless it's inconvenient. I travel quite a bit. As my company's grown, I've traveled. And so everywhere I go, I look up where the closest Aldi to me is. And I pull into Aldi and buy all my things. And then I go to my hotel and I take my blender wherever I go. So I always have my blender. I take the blender and ice cube tray. Like anybody goes through my bag.
That's so funny.
At the airport, they're probably like, what the heck is this girl doing?
Yeah.
Because, you know, like a blender and
ice cube. It's the ice cube shave tray for me.
Like, but I'm that committed to my green smoothie.
Where did you get that recipe?
Where did I get it? I can't remember. It was one of the guys doing the, like, minimalist, like, you just need to eat chicken and vegetables kind of guy.
But so you didn't just come up with this concoction. It's like, you found it somewhere.
No, they might have put more stuff in it, but that worked for me.
So does it taste like more like, I guess it's got to taste more like the coconut water than anything.
It's a little bit sweet, like the apple and the coconut water definitely make it a little sweeter. But the avocado is what makes it creamy. So that's because of the fat in the avocado, it makes it blend and be nice and smooth.
All right. I will try it. I promise. Yeah. I will try before I release this episode, I'm going to try it. And part of the release is going to be this recipe. And
there you go.
Okay. There we go. This is going to be all part of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So as we wrap up, I want to ask, one, do you have a final thought or favorite quote or anything that you want to leave us with? Do you have a favorite quote? I'm a quote junkie.
Oh, gosh.
I put you on the spot with that.
I do. Yeah, I've been drawn lately to thinking about kindness, and this is a cliche. It's a cliche. I don't know who quoted it and who said it first. But the more and more I do things, and the more people I meet, and the more our business grows, the more I go back to, like, nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. And so being that driven to help people is what we look for when we are hiring people. We're looking for, do they truly desire to know people, right? To want to get to know people, because we think that that's been lost in healthcare. Our relationships with our physicians a lot of times now, and our healthcare provider, is very cold, right? Yeah. If you go to a big practice, you never know what Dr. PA, nurse practitioner, are going to see. It's not that they're cold people. They're very caring people. It's just you guys tell your story over and over again and try to get what you need, versus what we do as injury prevention consultants. We truly go in and kind of use the country doctor model of, we get to know everybody. Because once we know everybody and they know we want to help them, then they tell us, oh, my wrist is bothering me. My back's been bothering me for a little while.
Yeah.
And I think that's been the success of our program. And I, like, every day I have to leave, I leave with kindness with my kids. When we drop off, what's one thing you're grateful for, and who can you be nice to today? And so to lead with that, I think, is really important in life. And I feel like if society just, we're a little more empathetic to everybody else's life, and I think that we all do a lot better.
That's amazing. I love that. I really love that. Well, I appreciate your time today. It was a pleasure to meet you and speak to you and learn about you. And you have a lot of good knowledge and gave us a lot of good tips today. So, thank you so much.
Yeah, I love talking to runners. So, and about runners, and my favorite group.
Oh, well, I'm so glad to be connected. And I hope you have an amazing rest of the day and an amazing weekend. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the Maybe Running Will Help podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I had a lot of fun recording with our guest. Remember to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts and follow me at One Classy Mother Runner on Instagram, where you can find links to this show, information about my virtual coaching program, and the Bella's Run Club. Until next time, this is Nikki Tamburino. Keep running, keep inspiring, and keep sharing how maybe running will help. Have a great run, everybody.
Whoa, I hit record, a drop, you can't ignore it. I'm transforming, now these cars and planes, I'm always boarding. Just out touring down in Charlotte like I play for Hornets. When I'm performing, never boring, now you can't afford it. Champagne, Perrier, finished friends on my face. Looking like I'm from the D, D's no Cartiers. Pockets deep, 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 bro, I can make it in my seat, bro. Do you, I'm doing me, bro, making noise, use a beat, bro. Thought I'd never make it, like, no way. I'm the real deal, no role play. My days off, that's no days. No, I hustle hard, young rosé. E be the shooter, that's cold case. L's on the deals, that's rosé. Got no pay, yo, no say. Okay, this the news, tell them read it. Been the one since the fetus. Don't sleep on me, Tempur-Pedic. That's a no, no, no. Spending dope for no reason. Got a ball head, Mr. Clean. Heard the big bags overseas, then we gon' go, go, go. Whoa, whoa, I press the button.